Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on November 17th, 2020. And thanks so much for being with us today. I got an interesting show. Really, this is pretty cool. I have a gentleman named Craig Cecilio, okay, who is the founder and CEO of an investment company called DiversaFund. And he's going to tell us how he founded that, but more importantly, he's a firm believer that financial equity and financial education begins in childhood with comprehensive financial literacy education. Okay, makes sense, but he sees it not from the educator's point of view, but from someone who deals with finances all day long. So it's going to be a very interesting show, and I'm so glad Craig is with us today. He's calling in, I know, from out west in California, where it's 9 a.m. It's a little bit afternoon right here. So anyway, I'm Larry Jacobs. It's a pleasure to have you here today. We archive every show over at our website. Our website's all about equity. It's the American Consortium for Equity and Education, financial equity being a big part of that, by the way, I might add. All right, and that's over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Please go over there and please join with us. Educators, it's free for you. Anybody in pre-K-12, join in. It's an industry-supported consortium, so you can thank the industry for doing all the work they do and for helping us get the word out there. All right, so it's over at ace-ed.org. Please check it out. Well, you have a new issue of our magazine, Equity and Access, our online journal. That should be out tomorrow or Thursday and up on site. Okay, the current issue is excellent, all right, and it's up there. It'll be under the archived issues once we get the new one up there. All right, we tweet over at EduTalk Radio and also at Access to Equity ED, Access to, the number 2, Equity ED, and Larry Jacobs and Education Talk Radio is on Facebook. That's our handles there, and on LinkedIn, it's Larry Jacobs. But EduTalk Radio and Access to Equity ED will get you there. Without further ado, I'm blabbing too much here. Let me bring on Craig. All right, I'm spinning. There we go. I had to go all the way to California. Hi, Craig. It's Larry here.
Hey, Larry. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thanks for being with us. I appreciate that.
Yeah, not a problem. It's interesting times today.
It's certainly, to say the least. And I'm in Maine. We're diagonally opposite each other. You're in San Diego, right?
Yeah, Maine. Wow, I haven't been. I've been there when I was a kid. I grew up in Connecticut, so I've been to Maine
a few times. Then you know,
yeah.
don't even bother coming in January, February, or March. You know that, okay? Whereas San Diego is always room temperature. It's always room temperature. It's unbelievable.
We got a good week. We are in the 70s this week, mid-70s.
Yeah,
on the coast,
chilly. I understand, yeah. So what part, do you live right downtown, or where are you, in La Jolla or somewhere else?
A little bit more north. I'm more North County, Del Mar-ish area.
Oh, I love it there.
Yeah, I have a few kids, and so this is usually where you go when you have kids. And office is downtown, and we're kind of, as everyone else, we're in and out all the time. One second we're there, one second we're not, one second we're there. It's kind of a yo-yo, but we're making do.
And since you said you have kids, are they in school? I don't know what the situation is. Are they in school? Are they home? What's going on? I don't know how old they are.
Yeah, well. I have one that's turning 13 this weekend.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
She's
birthday.
In school.
Happy
one
birthday.
One that's five. Five. Thank you. One that's five. She's in school. And then I have another one that's about 10 months old. And she's,
wow.
Congratulations.
That's quite a span, my friend. And I have to tell you, okay, 13-year-old a girl, and she's in remote learning now, or where is she?
She's at school. She actually is at
school. At school.
Yeah,
very good.
Her.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And she's doing okay.
And
everything's cool with that, right?
And there's protocols and procedures going down.
Good.
We have to take our temperatures at our house. We take our temperatures when we drop them off. We take our temperatures when one of them drop off in the classroom, take the temperature. There's a lot of protocols in place. So it feels pretty good in how everyone is kind of coming together as a community to make it happen.
That's
excellent. To really get the kids back in school. So
that's
nice
really excellent. And that's the way it should be. And as long as everybody's safe. Okay, we're doing okay. So congratulations.
Yeah.
I just hope that lasts, that we don't have a spike okay, and everything falls apart again. It's just ridiculous. Tell us about your company. This is really good. I'm so glad you're here because we always get the educator's point of view. But now we've got somebody in the financial industry. We've talked about financial literacy. Easy to talk about from our end, but you see it firsthand from the other end. So tell us about Diversified. Let's do a plug. Get it done. Go ahead, Craig. You're the founder.
I call it a wealth tech company. So really, really some of the things that came out of the Jobs Act last downturn and applying technology to something that's been around for a long time. So we innovated a way to decrease the barrier for investing for everybody. So now, regardless of your socioeconomic background, we offer investment opportunities for you. And along the way, we learned there is not a lot of financial literacy out there. So we started developing financial literacy programs, and that's we just launched our first program. I believe it was in September this year. So we've kind of really are focusing on a lot of financial literacy across the board. A lot of this has to do with my background coming from like a working class family in Connecticut, and I didn't really get exposed to a lot of things through my family, didn't get exposed to a lot of opportunities growing up as well, and didn't have that chance to go up the wealth ladder. Being in Connecticut, like one street you could be, you know, just working class, next street you could have a really fancy kind of membership to a really high-end golf club or country club. I saw that growing up, and so when I had the opportunity to build a company like this, it was kind of a little passion inside of me to do that. And one of the most interesting things that I've really kind of dove into over the last couple of years was the statistics. And I didn't know they're like miserable. They're horrible out there, the financial literacy. I mean, some of the things, what's going on definitely in minority households as well. In the minority households, look at the stats. Most of the net worth for Black Latino families is 15% less than every white family.
Yep.
15 to 24 year olds proportionally, they don't have any money in any kind of banks or depository institutions.
Yep.
I mean, very low amounts of this. And there's a couple of reasons. One,
scary.
They say they don't trust banks. Another reason is maybe they don't have enough money. They're always, what's the real reason why? A lot of it's got to do with a little bit of both, right? At the end of the day, you take
right.
a little bit of truth out of everything that's being said. And then the school systems, we don't even need to go there.
Yes, we do. That's what we're talking about. And, and people don't teach financial literacy. And there are some people doing it across, obviously there's some people doing it. We're talking about millions of people out there. But it's not really part and parcel as much as it needs to be. And, we struggle to teach mathematics, arithmetic, if I may, to kids. But when you have financial literacy and you apply what is a math curriculum to financial literacy, whether the kids like it or not, that is a life skill. And that's going to literally, if I may, pay off over the course of time. But that connection isn't really made. You went through algebra just like I did, okay? And it made no sense without context. And you got to have context to do it. You mentioned a minute ago a program that you just started. A program on? Did I hear you right about financial literacy? Did I understand that correctly, Craig?
Yeah, an educational course called a Back to Business School. So it's a free online course. We started that in September this year.
Congratulations! Where is that? On the web?
It's just on our platform on our site, diversityfund.com. It's check it out. It's available for everyone. It's something that we are going to stick a lot of energy and effort into this year, into 2021, and really kind of build that out. As I said, if we're going to talk to people about how to build wealth and how to do that through technology and using our platform, we have to start with the basics. And I always say, hey, we serve the everyday investor. So how can we serve people if we're not educating them? That's part of the process.
That's right.
We have to educate them. And no matter where you are, there's an opportunity for you, but where do you start? And that's what we're really trying to do. I think on the level of most people, it's like, hey, I don't even have a checking account. So
that's
like,
right.
I don't even know how to balance my checkbook. So we have to kind of really have to take that into consideration when we're talking to everyone. And so everyone hey, this is where I am, and this is what I have, choices I have, and this is how I can do these things. And I think one of the things that happened out of COVID, though, a positive, is
everyone remembers
the Industrial Revolution and how that kind of fast-forwarded us, especially this country. And now we've just gone through a stage called the Digital Revolution. We just accelerated 5 years digitally. And so a lot of these things that – these courses that you're going to get – that people are thinking they're going to get in school, you're going to find them online. They're going to be built out online everywhere. People are all online now. People are home more now than ever. They're developing a habit with that. They're going to kind of go back to that more than anything else. So there's a great opportunity out here to get in front of a lot of people with a lot of different educational tools.
There really is, and I congratulate you for doing all this. Again, everybody, I'm just going to spell it, although you can probably see it on screen when you listen to the podcast, but it's DiverseFund. It's DiverseFund. DiverseFund.com, and you can go over there and you can check all this out. I have a couple questions about your company. When you say it's for people who, no matter what their socioeconomic status, I think you kind of said that, and I'm just going to make something up here. Can they give you $5 and see what that does? When you say that, how low? What are we talking about? To put that in perspective, and I'm asking for a reason, not to be funny.
Yeah, let's start with the reason why we're offering this. We're doing this to build wealth. So if you only have $5, you might just want to start thinking about, hey, your cash flow, and maybe get a general savings account. Where to really gain wealth, you have to stick a little bit more money in that. So I think that's a little top of the funnel stuff. And as we progress as a company and through technologies, we're breaking barriers. We still have to work with institutions such as banks behind the scenes. There's costs still involved with that. So with time, that lower dollar amount may come in handy through micro investing. But right now, our minimums are like closer to $500 for our investment products.
Okay, that's great. I was only kidding about the $5. I knew it couldn't be that. Okay, if you only have $5,
you
don't buy cigarettes.
Yeah, eventually, but.
Maybe the five can
become
six.
What if you save $5 a day? Some people spend that much in Starbucks.
There you go.
You get a double mocha frappuccino with whipped cream, and you want a special straw, and you spend $5.
You got that right.
How many people spend that much? Can we do a direct correlation between that and how much money they have in their checking account?
I had a friend who almost went bankrupt doing exactly that. Had no money and was buying a $7 double mint chocolate cappuccino latte grande every day. So it's funny you should bring that up. It was bad stuff. He was just hooked on it, almost like addicted. But $500 is a great number to work with, and people can get involved in investing with that. And that's an easy number to work with. Okay, a lot of people have that, or they can see a future getting it. Okay, so this is Kate. Now, why do you call your company, and this is just interesting before I get back to the education stuff, you call it, I believe, a financial investment technology firm, and you used the word technology prior. Why is it just a financial investment firm? What's the technology involved?
The term I've been using lately is wealth tech. And using,
I like that
without
term,
the
by the way. I heard you say it before. I like that term. It's good.
Without the technology, we wouldn't be able to do this. So the technology allows – one of the greatest things about having a platform, we have an app. People go through their desktop computer as well, go online. One of the greatest things about that, it's not judging you. It's just, hey, you're there, and you're just kind of processing the information. And then with that, we are able to collect information from our constituents or customers to improve that experience for them. So we're constantly improving our features with the constant feedback and constant engagement interaction with our customers and constituents. And so with the technology, it allows us to transact at such a velocity that it's cost effective for us, which is one of the biggest things. We have to be a solvent company, a profitable company, to keep offering more and more services to people. So that's really allowed us. And at the same time, the technology has allowed us to have, instead of, like I said, the velocity and the multiplicity, I guess is the word I'm trying to say, effect, is really having hundreds, not thousands, of people transact a day on our platform. Whether without that technology, we wouldn't be able to do that. And there's a lot of pieces involved. There's a lot of banking pieces involved, a lot of compliance pieces involved, a lot of paperwork involved, and all that stuff we are able to apply technology to make it efficient and make it easy for someone to do. So it's not like you're sitting there and printing out all this paper, viewing all these documents. It's all online for you to look at.
Is it a good time to invest right now? Save time?
Always,
we're talking about this?
Always. It's always a good time to invest.
There you go. I like
what,
that answer.
The question. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
invest into what's the question.
As they said to Ben Braddock in The Graduate, plastics. I just did a show where that plastics industry is going nuts, making all these barriers and everything and shields, et cetera. It's a good one. There's a tip for you of the day. All right? I'm curious, Greg, and you talk to people all the time. When you talk about financial education, financial literacy, okay, where are they lacking? I mean, most people, I assume, can add 2 + 2 and they can do some multiplication and all that. But I don't know if they understand the market and investment. If you could create I'm just going to use this and just think of your kids for a second. Where would you start, okay, to teach them this, and what would you teach them? Again, knowing what you know.
That's an easy one because it's my 13-year-old's birthday, and so I just got some money yesterday in the mail for her birthday, and I just took 80%. I'm like, I'm taking 80, you take 20.
There you go.
that's where it was just yesterday, was last night, 80-20
rule. That's funny.
She's like,
that's funny.
Yeah, so I was like, you can do what you want. She's, Well, actually, she doesn't want even money. She wants Amazon credits, so that's different.
Good.
So I don't even know what happened.
Welcome to America.
That just changed. It depends. I think a lot of it's awareness. I think most of it's just awareness. What do you know? What don't you know? I ever hear that saying, you know what you know, but you don't know what you don't know? And
well,
so
the important
part is to
know what you don't know. That, to me, is the important part. Okay, know what you don't know before you open your big mouth. Not you, the generic person. Okay, just think of your daughter. Okay, 13 years old, she goes to school. Okay, and she's old enough to understand this from school. Oh, without question, she's old enough to understand it. What should she know? Should she understand about the stock market? Should she understand just about general investing? Where would it go? What's the best thing to learn? This is good.
I mean,
because you're in that business. I love this.
Yeah. So right now, I mean, with her, it's just saving. It's just being able to save money. It's not about really of the return of the money. It's about saving the money, and that's a big thing for later on. So I was big. It's like, I have to save money for you and your other sisters for college, and so hey, we're putting stuff a bit, and here's our goal. This is how much I want you guys to have when you go to college. We're doing that today. So really forming that habit of saving, which has been around for centuries. It's the kind of age old saying. It's the habit of saving is a big thing. Leading with that is big, because if you have money if you're saving money and you have money, now you can start talking about where are you gonna invest that money. And then you can learn about investing after. But the first is saving, is getting and making that a habit. So if you're making $10 a week and you save $2, that's $10. And so what else is part of what's going on in your life? What do you need the cash flow for? And then I really do think people kind of get a little bit don't really understand investing that much. And I think a little bit right now, there's a lot of information coming at you. I think there's about, what I read the other day, or as a podcast, 3,300 over 3,300 fintech banks have been created in the last 5 years.
Wow.
It's an amazing amount, right? So now it's almost like there's too much information out there than not enough information. But how do we take that and kind of make it digestible for people?
It's a good question, isn't it? This is actually a good question. I'm going to ask you, and again, I'm asking you like a parent, like you're a parent. You are one, okay? If there was a choice, I'm going to use your kids. Who should teach them financial literacy? And I brought up mathematics and all that a few minutes ago. And the obvious thing we think of is, oh, the math teacher. When they're teaching arithmetic, they should do this. That's what I said a few minutes ago. But maybe it should be the social studies teacher. okay, so they can understand what the dynamics are on all this. What's your thoughts on that?
I think we're going to have to, for kids to get it, we're going to have to get a little bit more creative. I believe that how some firms out there really develop the gamification of the finance world. You see that all in the news and everything. Is how do we make it digestible for them? I just had a conversation. My daughter likes anime. I don't even know what anime is. So if there's a way I could make it kind of fun, so I could teach them in a fun manner and maybe a gamify the educational, it might stick a little bit more in their heads. And if there's maybe attach a game to it, I'm just kind of spitballing here some ideas.
No, you're
to
good.
Make it more,
I like it.
I'm just taking what she said and some stuff and just, just make it presentable for them. For someone at that age, I think it's just more understanding a little bit where the habit of saving. And the other thing I really wanted to kind of ingrain in my family was to let them know how things are for other people. So, like, today we're doing some food drives, and I was showing them other people in economic backgrounds and how they live to really kind of – so they have a general understanding of where they are, where we are overall. We're in a pretty good position, but most people aren't in the position we are, and kind of let them kind of – just kind of soak it in and understand that, and so and then understand the importance of everything with that and with money and how to be where we are and continue that, we have to save. We have to save and invest properly. And what I think a lot of it is with school, it's just, I don't know, maybe it's taboo. They just don't, it's not really, I don't know if anyone really came out and created a program. And there's so much red tape
going on.
I'll tell
you the truth. I don't think it's taboo as much as nobody's prepared to teach it. Okay? I think it's that simple. All right? And, you know, as we were preparing the show, you're in the private sector, and you talked about having you guys created a course, all right, that's online or available at your website, diversifund.com, okay? And it's not so much that it's taboo, because everybody wants kids to understand life skills when they graduate K-12, okay? If we're not teaching them financial, they're going to have a problem with understanding life skills. Okay, so it's that simple, and maybe it's time, and you guys are doing this, so it's great, for the private sector to support schools and families with the task. If the private sector stands up and gives curriculum to schools and makes curriculum available, okay, it's going to make all the difference in the world. People will use it because it's there. That's my opinion anyway. It's just an important thing. You guys are doing that. And whether that was done accidentally or not, it's there. It's an education thing.
Yeah.
I have to ask you, okay, you're obviously, you created your wealth tech at DiversaFund, all right, and you're allowing people to enter the market at very little investment so they can, and your website says it nicely too, start to think about maybe they can get into the 1% eventually, or at least the 40%, whatever the case may be. So it depends where they are, where they're starting. Okay. Have you had a lot of good success with this? Have people of lower socioeconomic status, okay, or lower financial literacy done well with you guys? What's the success rate on that? And you can just talk about DiversaFund if you want.
Yeah, I mean, we've created about 15,000 customers this year. These are investors this year, 200,000 subscribers, almost 250,000 subscribers this year. So pretty successful year for us overall. Really, we're a relatively new company, so I'd love to see people with us 10, 15 years down the road that's looking long-term with everything. We're serving that many people. I am very thankful for that. It's something that's been a passion project of mine. So I'm really happy. I'm having a great year. There's nothing that, and having a third daughter at this year. So now it's just kind of like it's nice to get up each morning. There's always a balance in my step, knowing I'm doing something to make the world a bit better.
Sure.
And as we continue to grow, we could offer more programs and build out better, more technologies to get in front of people and develop tools as well. It's like one of our most successful tools that we started this year was we have an auto deposit where people connect us to their bank account each month. And so like a habit just comes out each month, like a savings account. And I call it, and comes out again and again and again. And that's a way the forming a habit of saving is just kind of connected to your account each month. And you get your paycheck comes in, a little bit goes into this. And that's a great way to do it. And really to get back to where, what you're saying is, just giving everyone the opportunity. Because one, they didn't know this exists, but just giving them the opportunity where they can be like the 1%. And this is how you can get started. And that's all we're trying to do is kind of say, hey, before you couldn't do this, and here's the reasons why. Now you can.
And now you can.
And look, now you can. And this is what's been happening the last 5 years. It's all these new companies are popping up due to the digital transformation and a lot of the new regulations. So we're very fortunate. And as far as the financial literacy and get more back with that and with school and everything. And I'm not sure if you've started seeing this out in the news. But and you got to be careful when you name yourself after university. But Google is starting Google University, which maybe it should change the name. I don't think you want.
but, probably a good idea. Because
they're saying like coding and a lot of the tech stuff is not taught in school, and so people who go take their courses might have will have a better chance of getting a better job if they go to their they'll gain the skills that they need to be in today's job market. So it's like our kind of educational system's falling behind, and it's nice to see these private companies stepping up and offering those services for people.
Exactly the point I was making, and thank you so much for bringing that up, and it's true. And the reason Google gets into that, okay, is because they know they need a future workforce, okay? And so if they don't train them, who is going to, all right? So they're not screwing around anymore, all right? With company like yours, okay, you may get some stockbrokers out of it or some brokers or managers, whatever you call them, out of it, okay? That's not the point. The point is you have to build future – not you, the colloquial you – has to build future customers. And if people don't understand it, okay, that's going to hurt them, okay? That's going to hurt you in the long term, you again, the colloquial you. That's why this is so important. This is great. Craig, thanks a million. This was a great show. I enjoyed it. Terrific. And happy birthday to
Larry,
your daughter. Happy birthday to your daughter. Where are you? You can't even go out. Can you go out to dinner in California? Can you take her out to dinner?
We just hit a different zone as of Saturday. Now we're all, they just shifted everything. We're all on lockdown a little bit right now.
Yeah. Well, order a pizza or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll try our best.
13 tables.
To have fun.
Yeah, we all do, you know. Yeah, we'll all get through this, no problem. Craig, thanks a million. Good luck with your business. It's really a great idea, and I thank you for being involved with us today. I appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
Great. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate being on the show.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks, Craig. Bye-bye. Craig Cecilio, everybody. Okay, that's Craig, thank you. Craig is the CEO and founder of Diversa Fund, D-I-V-E-R-S-Y Fund. Okay.com at diversifund.com, and good stuff, good guy. Check it out. It's interesting. Okay? It's all about equity. Everything comes down to it. Let's not stand in people's way. All right. Financial literacy, key stuff. We're going to archive the show. ace-ed.org at our American Consortium for Equity and Education. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.